So I'm saying one of the most popular sikhs about this is where it says that before Mashiach comes, that for a brief moment, everyone will return to dust. It's also one of the things that they're petrified of. So the Rebbe says that it doesn't mean literally, just like we say in davening, v'nafshi ka'ofor la'koyol tia, we should be like dust. What does it mean? It means bittul. So bittul is, that means it's a ruchnizdik thing. In fact, the Rebbe said we're yotze with other things that happen now, which generally speaking, we're living in Golos, and many people in their personal lives are crushed one way or another. So you're yetzer with these in Yonim already. Doesn't Chas v'Shalom have to mean Kipshuta? If someone comes along and says, no, it's Kipshuta, not realizing Rachman al-Islam, by doing that, they're interpreting that Nevuah, at least to themselves, Chas v'Shalom, in such a way. This is what it says in the Sikhas of the Rebbe. So, I remember once a story here in Crown Heights. Probably because there are people here sitting who remember it. There was a time where there were a number of incidents that happened. Not good incidents. And I think there was specifically with women, and it happened to a few people. And they wrote into the Rebbe, what should we do? Look, this happened, that happened, the other thing happened. And I remember the Rebbe's answer was, Loi lekasher hamu'urois. Don't connect the incidents. Don't make it into a pattern. In other words, if you're going to write that this is a pattern, chas v'shalom, you make it into a pattern. And if we write that it's not a pattern, an isolated incident, not chas v'shalom, something's going on, then that's the way it's going to be. Whatever happened, happened, and it doesn't have to lead to anything else, chas v'shalom, in the future. The same. It means that the inyan and beruchnis depend on us. And if we kind of declare that there's a pattern here, there's a cause here, in a sense, you bring out whatever that could be a possibility, but whatever that possibility is, by speaking about it in such a way, we cultivate it in a sense. We bring it out and make it more pronounced and more open, and then it's more effective. And by ignoring it, it's not that we're denying the reality, but you're not allowing that aspect of it to come out. And therefore, it doesn't take effect. That's exactly what Trachgut v'Zangut means. Trachgut v'Zangut is also not denial. Trachgut v'Zangut means that depending on the way we think, that's the way things happen. Like, for example, with Trachgut v'Zangut is the one who is the original source of this vart is the Tzemach Tzedek. It's based on a story that there was once a chassid, that his son was in a critical condition, and he was hysterical. And one of the older chassidim said to him, I don't understand you. Where's your amunah? Where's your betachin? It says in Gemara that even if there's a sword, chas v'shalom, the tip of a sword by someone's throat, you shouldn't give up. Why are you like this? And he told him, you know what the doctor said, such and such, it's a matter of hours. So he says, go to Lubavitch and get a bracha from the Rebbe. It was Tzemach Tzedek's times. And the chassid said, there's no point because the doctor said it's a matter of hours. So by the time I get to Lubavitch, and the chassid said, I'm sure that the malachim lemaila who are Rahman al-Islam being mekatek, they'll wait. Just go to Lubavitch. And a friend of his took him and they went off to Lubavitch. And he was fortunate enough that when he came to Lubavitch, he was able to go see the Tzemach Tzedek right away. And of course he gave the tzetel to the Tzemach Tzedek. And while the Tzemach Tzedek is reading, he's thinking in his mind, who knows if his request is even relevant anymore. And he broke down crying. That's when the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, why are you crying? Trach gut v'zayin gut. And the chassid said that for the rest of his life, anytime any kind of situation came up, he followed the Rebbe's advice, Trachgut, and that changed it. So one of the ways of explaining what's Trachgut v'Zayngut, so it says it's based on what the Baal Shem Tov says. The Baal Shem Tov says, Hashem Tzilcha Yadu Menecha, the Eibishter is our shade. The reason why we describe Hashem as a shade is, the shade represents protection. Protection from the sun, sometimes protection from rain. But the Baal Shem Tov says the word tzel can also mean not a shade, but a shadow. Hashem is our shadow. What's a shadow? A shadow copies us, copies our movements. The Eivishter copies our movements. And therefore, if we think positive, and we picture in our minds healing, we picture in our minds success, we picture in our minds something good, we create that condition, Lamaila. Because there's a word, Lamaila, which is called the world of thought, Machshava, and whatever goes on my thought creates it up there. And there's a world, Lamaila, that's called the world of speech. Whatever comes out of my mouth, in that world, it's reality. The famous story that's brought down Hayyam Yang, that Rosh Hashem once wanted to show his Talmidim the power of speech. That down here speech is only words, but lamaila it creates. And one time he was sitting with his tummy, then told them all to put their arms on each other's shoulders, and they had a human chain. And the Baal Shem Tov put his hands on the shoulders of the two Talmidim next to him. And they told him to close their eyes. And they saw the way one person was walking over to another person and viciously tearing him apart to pieces. And they all gasped because they're seeing one person tearing another person apart. They opened up their eyes, and the guy is alive and well. And what it was that one person said to the other person, "I'm going to tear you apart like a fish." So Baal Shem Tov showed them that in Olam HaDibur, his neshama tore apart his neshama like a fish. And of course, when something happens in Olam HaDibur, it's more likely to evolve from there to Olam HaMaisa. When something happens in Olam HaMachshava, you create a condition. In that world, it's more likely to evolve from the world of thought to the world of speech to the world of action. On the other hand, if I create in my mind thoughts of positiveness, of bracha, I create that bracha l'mayla. And the Tzemach Tzedek wrote to a certain chassid that the Alter Rebbe was nostalgic. That night, I think it was, the Tzemach Tzedek was davening Meir. And he was davening Meir with a sad tune, with a marashchere diketun, because of the Alter Rebbe's condition. And the Alter Rebbe rebuked him for it. The Alter Rebbe said, "Why are you davening in such a tune? Adrabba, you want some bracha for the Alter Rebbe?" So he said, what it says in the Zohar, that whatever face you show down here, that's the kind of face you show up there. You based it on the pasuk kamayim aponim el aponim. It's like your face is reflected in the water. That's how what goes on in our thoughts and words is reflected lamayim. True. The only question is, I'm not chas v'shalom saying anything, but I'm saying the question is if maybe it needed to be more people that of chassidim that had that thought in their mind. Could be if everyone taka would have been a 100% that one way. Maybe it would have been a different power. It's very possible and very likely. But I'll soon tell you where the difference can also come in. One of the inyanim that are similar to this is actually the story with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Everyone knows one of the examples the Rebbe gives that tzaddikim continue to live in this gosh musical world with their body is the story of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh came back to his family every Friday night. So there's an interesting pirush. There's a sefer written by one of the greatest tzaddikim in the Sephardic world, who was known as Ben Ish Chai. And in his commentary on this Gemara, he says, why taka do we find this by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, not by other tzaddikim? Why don't we find it by other tzaddikim? They're also very big tzaddikim, tanoim. And we don't find this inyan that they came back Friday night alive to their families. And he says the reason is because Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Gemara says, that he was the Nasi, and for whatever reason, in that generation, they made the biggest tumult, the biggest commotion, that they want him to continue to live, and they daven, and they want him to live. And it will be unacceptable that anything else will happen. And he said, because the whole generation, every single person generation, was davening to Hashem, and they were determined that Rabbeinu HaKadosh has to live, so they wished to make it, and the Chitaka happened that way. In fact, in the Gemara, it says something very, very amazing. The Gemara says that they announced, I think it was the day that the crisis was like at its worst point, the day of his Estalkus. They announced, whoever is going to say that the Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away will be stabbed with a sword. Yudokar b'cherem. That's what they announced in the Bris Medrash. What do you mean? It means if even after it happens, if someone's going to say that this is what happened, then Rachman al-Slan yudokar b'cherem. And in fact, when it happened, the person who said it didn't use the words that he passed away. He said, "Nitzchu areilim hametzukim." In other words, the forces up there, which are the malachim, they wanted him up there. We wanted him down here, and the forces up there defeated the forces down here. He didn't say the words that he passed away. So, what does it mean? It means he's saying clearly that the fact that the yidden wanted so much that he should live, and they had that amunah that he's going to live, that's what made that Ishtaka continue to live even after his passing. True, for whatever reason, it didn't happen in a way that it begashmis, in a way that we could see it, he continued to go on. But definitely, he lived in a way which was unprecedented to other tzaddikim. Why? Because of the Yidden. Only his family, right? Not only saw him, it says they came back to his family, sat there at the table, and he made Kiddush. And even there we find how much it depended on, again, on just like here it depended on the klal, that they daven so much, here also depended on the family. It says in Gemara that what happened was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, before he was nostalgic, said to his children, Lebonai ani tzarech, I need my children. And he said to them, I'm giving you instructions. Don't move the chair, the table from its place. Let it stand where it always stood. Don't move the menorah, the candle, where from its place, and don't move the bed from its place. Everything should stay where it was. And the Gemara says, my timer, why was it so important? And the Gemara answers, because he came back every Friday night. I guess you can probably explain the Gemara literally, that when he came back Friday night, he didn't want to have to go look for his menorah, so he told him before. Really? That was so urgent in such a time where he's leaving this world? What would be the problem if he'd come home? And they say, oh, we didn't have the table for you. Fine, they'll move over the table. Big deal. Or they'll move it from this place to a different place. I'm sure they wouldn't throw all the tables out of the house. What was the point? The point was, if you do something which indicates that nothing has changed and I belong to this house just like before, I will come back to this house just like before. That's what it says. That they shouldn't move the table and the menorah and the bed from its original place.